We've seen the response of people to God. Now Paul shifts it a little bit in 24 and says, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity. So now he's just shifted a little bit from our responses to him to his responses to this behavior. And of course, this now enters in free will. And God says, if this is the direction you're going to go, then you will need to see the natural consequences of that direction. Now, having said that, he is faithful to reminding us again and again, but it's less a forced thing from God and more a loving, gentle revelation to you. He won't force you towards him. He wants you to choose him. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. Each week at this time, we're here to study God's Word with you and with each other. We're a group of women who love God's Word and God's people. This week, I'm here with my friends Amy and Karen, and we're looking at Romans 1, verses 18 to 25, where Paul talks about how we exchange the truth about God for a lie. Today, you'll hear just one part of the time we spent together on this scripture, so visit studywithfriends.org to hear the whole conversation. At the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a search box. Enter the word exchanged to find the page with all the broadcasts in this series and also the discussion guide we used to help us unpack it together. We're having a great time learning from God and learning from each other. I hope you'll find something today that's helpful to you. Let's get started. The first thing I think of when I think of the word futile, my family and I are fans of superhero movies, and I think about the villain standing with his hands on his hips saying, resistance is futile. So when I think about the word futile, I think about that. What do you think that word means?
It just brings up images of unnecessary, like, you know, there's almost a sense of ridiculousness yes. about it.
Uselessness.
Useless. Mm-hmm. Unproductive.
Yeah.
Not, mm-hmm. you know, not yeah. worthy of it. Like, it's just, yeah.
It's like fluff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So let's just continue to sit on that for a second. How much of what we spend time on personally, and then we'll expand it out into the culture, but don't be so quick to point to someone else until you think about yourself. How much of what we spend our time on is fluff?
Well, if I was honest, I'd probably use the 80-20 rule. And I'd probably say 80% of the nonsense that goes on in between my ears
yeah.
is nonsense.
Yeah.
And it's futile
yeah.
to not be futile in mm-hmm, your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier to be lazy.
What you're saying, which is lazy thinking. When I think about myself, I think about, I don't know, like, I don't really do it anymore, but I used to play Candy Crush. That's a futile, I'm not ashamed, or else I wouldn't say it, because sometimes you just need to turn your brain off for a minute, and mm-hmm. that's something you can do. But how much, I don't want to throw my kids under the bus, but I do object to how much time they spend on their screens. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing? You know, this seems a little bit futile to me. I love you guys. I'm not trying to throw you in a bus. And again, I need to look more towards myself. But to me, there's another side of that, which is, so that's to me like lazy. That was a really good word, Karen. Like not really working towards thinking. I don't feel mm-hmm. lazy when I'm in Bible study with you guys. That I sit down on Thursday mornings and we are really striving together towards understanding God's word and we're listening to each other. That's not laziness. I don't feel lazy. I don't feel futile there. So the opposite of that would be, I don't know, maybe I'm watching something stupid on TV or just watching TV at all because I'm consuming instead of thinking. I'm just letting something entertain me. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's how much of my life am I spending doing that? But then to me, there's also another side of that, which is the attention and energy I give to stuff that doesn't matter. So there's the lazy component of useless time and energy that's just not worthy. But then there's the other side for me that I spend time and energy on things that have no kingdom consequence or no earthly consequence. I get spun up into drama or things that don't matter. And to me, that's futile also. That's different than lazy, but it's still futile because I'm focusing on something that really doesn't matter. Does that make sense to you? So when I think about that, there's really two sides to that coin.
Absolutely. And I think distraction, which is what you're pointing to, we get so distracted. Mm-hmm. And again, it's because we have a desire for something. And so then we get distracted searching mm-hmm. after it and mm-hmm. looking for it. Mm-hmm. And we can, there's a lot of ways we can unpack this.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways mm-hmm. we can be futile in our mm-hmm. thinking.
I have really been trying to concentrate on what does go on. The self-talk, the negative talk that we give ourselves, that's really a hard thing for many people. I am very much into putting myself down in my head. And so over the last couple of months, as I've been going on different journeys, I really have been trying to focus on what I am telling myself. And what, because, you know, I'm telling myself lies. Mm. I'm telling myself the lies. You know, you're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're this, you're that. And that's not what God's telling me. That's what's going on in my brain. And so I've really been trying to take hold of my thoughts. And so there's a book out there. It is not a religious, faithful book. It's called The Secret. It is very much about the universe. Mm-hmm. However, my worldview is God's worldview. And I know that The Secret is based off of God.
Yeah.
And
it's a great example, actually, how they exchange the truth about God for a lie. That book.
It really is. Yeah. And so I really have taken to heart as to what I am telling myself mm-hmm. that I need to, I'm sorry, I'm going off tangent. So, you know, January 1st, you make all of your, New Year's resolutions and revelations. And one of my, through work, one of my things for myself, my main goal is that I am a child of God. What does that look like? How do I speak to myself and how do I speak to others based off of that? And it starts with what I'm telling myself in my brain. And I just think that that is a really important This is one of the most important really things in important. Our lives mm-hmm. as to what we're telling ourselves. And we tell ourselves way too many lies.
Yeah.
So, that's...
So you're actually not off on a tangent at all. You're right on topic because they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. You're giving us a real life example of how when you're not focusing on God... You can exchange the truth for a lie.
Yeah. And I wish I could source this because I know are big on sourcing.
I do.
And I can't remember the source of this, but somebody did a test because, I'm very much with the MS, the neurological, whatever's going on. Somebody did a test of brains and when you are speaking negative things to yourself, how that affects your brain and your actual neurons and all that kind of stuff. And it's darkening.
Yeah.
So the science you're on topic. Telling you.
Yeah. You're on topic. Well, I always say that the more science reveals, the more we understand God.
Yeah.
I don't think these two things exist separate from each other, but that's obviously my worldview too. So that's good. I think it's good for us to see the result of their wrong response to God and how big those components are in our everyday lives. So we talked a little bit about general revelation. I shared with you what I think is a seminal verse on general revelation, which is Psalm 19:14. We talked about special revelation. In the homework, there's a link to a really great article on general revelation and special revelation. So if you want to learn more about that, just grab up the homework and click on that link or Google it. But now I'd like to look at verses 22 to 24. So we're just going one little piece at a time. And so we've reflected. I think we've seen some wisdom in these previous verses. And now he drills down even more. And honestly, just so you know, after verse 25, he continues to drill down into what's happening as a result of their wrong response to God. And he's saying God is allowing, as I said, the title in some of your Bibles is going to tell you that, this is God's wrath on unrighteous behavior. But now he's starting to really drill down in verses 22 to 24. Would one of you read that?
Romans 1, 22 to 24.
Yeah, go.
Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves.
So he's now just talking more about, I didn't want to package verse 21 with 22 to 24 because I thought it was so very important to lift out the futility in thinking and the foolishness in the heart and the darkening of your heart, because I think those are words that we can really understand. They're visceral. The darkening of my heart, that draws a picture for me that frankly I can identify with. Seasons in my life where that happened.
You are using a lot of SAT words today.
Sorry, which one did I just use? I'm so sorry. Stop me.
No, it's good. Okay. It's good.
Don't let me say something that's not easy to understand. I'm so sorry. So, and I do think that the futility, I think we did a good job of unpacking what that can look like in everyday life. But I have to also say, the first part of 22 resounds with me as well. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Listen, I think it's easy for us to look outward and talk about worldly people who claim to be wise, but we think are fools. Even people inside, quote unquote, the church. You might think of certain pastors that you think are missing the mark, that you think claim to be wise, but are actually fools. But instead of doing that, let's look inward. And you don't have to share, but let's just take a beat to look inward and think of times. You said something a few minutes ago, Karen, where you're like, I think I know what God means by that. Mm-hmm. In a moment, we can think we are wise. And that's not to say you should never counsel a friend about God's word or show... Or open the Bible with a friend and say, let's look together at what do you think God is saying, but maybe that's a better way. I'm a fan of the Socratic method. I'd rather ask you questions to lead you to what I think is the truth than tell you what I think is the truth, because I just think that's better to help you think it through for yourself than just listen to me, because I know that I could be wrong, and often I am. So, think about times and share or don't share, but at least take a beat to think about wise times that we have thought we were wise, but actually were fools, and exchange the glory. Now, this one might be hard for us to understand. We'll come back to it. Exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. And here comes another SAT word, pantheism, which is about worshiping created things. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I also don't want to skip over it, because these are the responses that Paul is describing for how you can get it wrong. And so now we see, okay, so up until this moment, we've seen the response of people to God. Now Paul shifts it a little bit in 24 and says, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity. So now he's just shifted a little bit from our responses to him to his responses to this behavior. And of course, this now enters in free will. And God says, if this is the direction you're going to go, then you will need to see the natural consequences of that direction. I'm not going to force you. God gives us our own free will. If we insist on worshiping something that isn't him or putting ourselves in front of who he is, he's not going to stand in front of us and say, no, you must worship me. Now, having said that, he is faithful to reminding us again and again, but it's less a forced thing from God and more a loving, gentle revelation, maybe a friend or, a bird, or it could be general revelation, could be special revelation. He's not going to stop revealing himself to you and encouraging you towards him. But free will is a factor, and he won't force you towards him. He wants you to choose him. So he gives you up to the lusts of your heart, to impurity, to the dishonoring of your body among yourselves. That's hard talk. That's tough talk. Do you want to say something about that? Why don't you describe, just tell me what you think about that. Karen, what do you think? Go.
Oh, my goodness. So here we are reading this text. You know, we put it in the context of that time, and they did make images, you know, things out of wood and this and that. And so sometimes, you know, us wise 21st century people, we go, well, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we don't do it like that, mm-hmm. right? So, but we certainly do it. And what do? We exalt people. We exalt, it could be doctors, politicians. We make saviors out of everybody and everything. And I think we cannot miss what Paul is saying here, because it is, we probably do it on a more expansive level than even when this was written, because we see so much more and we have the opportunity to engage with so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you can really spend a lot of time there. And I know in my own life, the things I wrote down were, you know, faced with really tough stuff in my family, my kids, whatever it was. You know, what do you fall back on? You fall back on your ingenuity. You fall back on your education. You fall back on, you know, your war chest. Mm. You know, what do I have in my war chest to fight this? It's so interesting how all of a sudden you go inward and you say, I've got this. What's in here? And you don't catch yourself. You don't catch yourself that, you know, that wait a minute here. Don't you remember whose you are and who you are? You know, so I think there's a lot there that could be its own conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Then moving forward, verse 24 is a tough one. There's a lot going on there as well. And that's a real struggle for a lot of people. I don't know if I really want to jump into that too deeply right now, but I will say that it's important for us to remember the holiness of God, the beauty of God, and the wonder of his justice, and that we are not that. Mm-hmm. And that's about the thought I want to leave everybody with is, mm-hmm. let's just start there. Let's just recognize him for who he is, and let's not try to justify ourselves in that light. Mm-hmm. Let's just let him be the holy, beautiful, righteous, just, loving God that he is.
Yeah, easier said than done.
Mm.
To be honest.
Yeah. So I'm lifting
you up. I wish
I
could do that better.
Yeah. I'm lifting you up on a pedestal. You have such great insight.
You, Karen.
You, Karen.
You're on the hot seat. Yeah, she's wise. That's why I brought her in here.
I
prefer to sit down with people who are smarter than me. That way I'm off
Why
the hook.
Am I here?
Because you have a lot of wisdom. Don't you do that negative self-talk. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Because you have a lot of wisdom. Wow. Amy, you know how I feel about you. You have a faith that exceeds most people that I know. So that's...
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm honored to be sitting here and with the two of you. Wow.
You bring your insights. You bring a lot. Well, let me share. Wow. I'm going to share. I'm not going to share too deeply because I don't think that's honoring. And I think it's a little too much of self. But I will say this. I first gave my heart to the Lord when I was 13 years old. Very strange, sort of isolated experience. Not something that was like... I don't know. Everybody's experience is their own. So I read a book by Johnny Erickson Tada. My brother had sent to me from college. And God reached in and he opened my heart and showed me who he was. And at the end of the book, there was a prayer. And it said, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to, consider praying a prayer like this. And I remember praying that prayer, and it was a quiet moment between myself and the Lord. So I'm 13 years old, but because it wasn't in the context of a group or a relationship, I wasn't plugged in anywhere. And so for sure I struggled. Like I went to youth group, but my youth group was not always 100% focused on the word and my growth experience. It was like more of a youth group, like, here's a safe place for the kids to be. You know what I mean? Which I don't think was all that uncommon in the 80s, but that's okay. And so even though I know that I was born again into a relationship with Jesus Christ when I was 13 years old. And the reason I know that is because my life changed, if not in outward ways right away, in inward ways. I started feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I started feeling uncomfortable with my sin. So that's how, you know, it's one gauge, special revelation, that God reveals himself and what his intentions are for me. But by the time I went to college, I had really not been plugged in enough to have that experience from a godly, wise perspective. And I went off the rails in college. Like, you know, I was young, a little younger than my peers. So I entered college when I was 17. So I was immature. And I will say that verse 24 is a really good description of my college experience. And so I can say how easy it is, even in the context of, I know that I know that I know, that the Lord was mine and I was his at 13, how easy it was for me. And listen, all the things that you would think, all the result of baggage from my childhood that caused these responses in me as a rebellious young adult, all those things aside, it's not so hard for that to happen. It's easy for that to happen because the world teaches us this is what's important. This is how you navigate your way. And if you don't have a firm grasp on who God is and who you are in him, then all you have is the world's perspective of how you make your way through. And Karen, you hit a note of intelligence. At that time, I felt like I was sorting out the power of my sexuality. Like, oh, if guys are attracted to me, then I have power over them. What do I do with that power? So you didn't mention that as part of your war chest, but let's be honest, as women, we know we wield some power in that way. And so I know it's a little bit ugly to think about these things, but I think you have to face the ugliness that you can be. And obviously I sit here delivered into something different. So, let me put a bookend on that experience by saying, in my rebellion, you know, way before Dr. Phil, I had a, you know, in my rebellion, God knew before I got to college that I would rebel. And he placed in my room a roommate who was a devout believer in Jesus Christ. Hi, it's Holly again. What an incredible gift we have to study together with you today. I'm so thankful for the ways that God's word helps me know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Please make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending his disciples out to preach the word, and he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us here at Study With Friends also. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there and listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free for you to use and print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. We send quarterly gifts to our monthly partners to say thank you. Resources like a pocket Bible or a prayer book or a daily devotional. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.